This is URN.
Hi, this is Bombay Bicycle Club, and you're listening to University Radio Nottingham.
Yes, yes, this is Rohan Rackett from University Radio Nottingham, and today I'm joined by Jamie McColl and Ed Nash of Bombay Bicycle Club ahead of their gig at Nottingham's Rock City tonight. How are you two guys doing?
Very well, thank you.
Very, very well.
How is Liverpool? You've been touring about, I hear.
How was Liverpool? The show was pretty good. I didn't really see much of Liverpool.
We were playing in a fantastic old... It was an old circus, the venue.
Oh, yeah.
And they had old, like, lion cages and spaces for elephants and things like that on the walls, which is very cool.
That must have been very, very weird, though.
It's pretty weird as far as venues go.
And then we were in Dundee yesterday, taking in some culture at the new V&A there.
Lovely.
The weather was also a lot better there than it is today in Nottingham.
Surprisingly, yeah. The London Quartet, who released their album So Long See You Tomorrow in 2014, have been on a brief hiatus for the past 5 years, with various band members pursuing their own projects, including frontman Jack Steadman's project Mr. Jukes and bassist Ed Nash's band Toothless. Mm. Both incredible projects, really, really enjoyed them.
Thank you.
I guess my question for you is about Toothless to start with.
Yeah.
Because I don't really know much about like how the band came about and what you were doing. So yeah, what sort of led you to wanting to start a band?
Well, I mean, we've done Bombay Bicycle Club since 2005. So since we were 15. And during that time, and especially once we left school, that's kind of all we did, you know, professionally, and certainly with music, that's all I did. So the further the band went along, I was keen, as was Jack, to kind of pursue different musical projects. But because we were touring so much, like in 2014, we were away for about 9 months of the year. So there wasn't a huge amount of time to do some other stuff. So when the hiatus kind of came about, I started doing Toothless, which is something that had been bubbling up in the background for a while.
Nice.
Like, there were songs and I wrote and recorded and, like, you know, played in my own time, but I didn't really have the time until we took this hiatus to
really
do it. So that was my time to do that. And same with Jack, though that was kind of the reason we took the hiatus at the beginning, because he wanted to pursue that. What we did in that time.
So what was this process like of playing with other people and being around other musicians? Was that weird to, like, transition into at first?
It was. I mean, like, Seren played the drums in Toothless.
And
I did all the other stuff, and Jack and me produced the record together, so it's kind of like the same people, but a different, like a reshuffling of it. It wasn't hugely different. It was only when we started playing live that I was going with other friends and stuff, which was quite hard.
Yeah.
Because everyone's got jobs and, you know, real lives now, so like fitting in time is a very difficult thing. Honestly, it made me appreciate Bombay Bicycle Club even more.
Mm.
You kind of take things for granted, especially after doing them for like 10 years.
Certainly
took it for granted, and doing that made me realise how special what we had was, and made me excited to do it again.
Wicked.
Which is, I think, part of the reason we started doing it again.
I wasn't asked to be part of it.
Didn't get the call up, mate.
Jamie, I must say, was doing other things that weren't music at all.
Yeah.
I didn't think he'd want to be part of it, to be honest.
What were you up to then?
I was a student. Oh,
amazing.
For about 4 years.
Whereabouts?
I did an undergrad at King's College London, and then I did a master's at Cambridge.
Amazing.
Let's
go back to the music.
I'll talk about my thesis all day.
I'll save the listeners that one. I guess my next question is for you. So what was it finally like being back in the same room together and playing together after all these years? Did you find it quite hard to get back into the swing of it, or...?
No, it felt very natural, I think. It's kind of like, there's so much, like, it's a cliche, it's like riding a bike. It's basically like muscle memory that you can call upon if you need to.
Mm.
It felt very like normal and comfortable doing it again. It didn't feel at all forced. And if it had done, it probably would have been a sign that it wasn't the right thing to be doing again.
No, of course. That's great. So your latest single, Eat, Sleep, Wake, Nothing But You, great use of parentheses, Yeah, it first aired on the 27th of August. Like most of your like early singles that I've been listening to since school, we're discussing sort of like teenage love song themes, stuff like that. What's the story behind this single, I guess?
Well,
if there is one, kind of that, basically.
It does. I mean, I think it, of all the songs on the album, it is the most that is like a kind of classic. It is like a song we also could have, like, it's musically more sophisticated, but it is also a song we could have written as 16-year-olds, I think, definitely.
That's quite charming in a way.
I think it was kind of, there was something slightly, like, self-referential about it. Because it is, like, the song itself is, like, kind of nostalgic for something. Mm. And I think we wanted to come back with a song that was kind of looking, like, in some way, like, looking back into our own, like, past and history as a band. I don't know how intentional that was, and I'm probably projecting onto that slightly, but yeah. I feel...
A lot of people seem to think it's about us, like, missing one another, especially with the video we made, which is us wanting to be with each other. They think it's about that. That's and I'm not sure it's specifically about that. It's fairly ambiguous. But...
No, the song is definitely not about that. But... I don't know, I mean, I don't think it's necessarily, the song is in the way that those, like, songs we wrote as teenagers and the ones we're performing tonight, it's not kind of, I don't know if it's about a specific, like, lived experience, but I'd have to ask Jack that.
I wouldn't say it very much, to be honest. It's fairly secretive. Not that there isn't a lot that he hasn't thought about, it's just, I don't think he's very keen to share his lyrical ideas.
So. Fair enough. You don't have to
speculate on that.
Yeah, I guess that's what music forums are for. So, is there a message behind that album at all? The new album, yeah.
Well, there's kind of like a central theme, and the album that's called Everything Else Has Gone Wrong, which we were a bit worried that it would be seen as like a comment on kind of current political landscape, because everything's gone wrong, obviously. But it's not. Much as I'd love to make a protest album, but it's kind of it's about how like music can be like an escape from things in your life or the world going wrong. So that's kind of the overarching theme, and it's kind of more positive than anything we've done in the past. Like the album as a whole is quite positive. It's quite like forward looking and hopeful, which I think is kind of like.
People need that.
Needed in current times. No, so if it was at all political, that would be the only like slither of something that you could take from it, I think.
Cool.
I did 2 politics degrees, so I'm...
Could harp on more. So obviously, it's been 5 years. The music industry has changed a lot with charts and just popular music in general. So you've seen the rise of UK rap, UK jazz, lots of subgenres which have now come to popularity. Yeah, what have you guys been listening to since the band have broken up?
New music.
Yeah, new music-wise.
I spent a huge amount of the last 4 years not listening to music. And I don't know if that was because I was making music, so I wanted an escape from it. But, you know, there's this rise in all these new types of music, but there's so much other stuff like podcasts and kind of radio and this real kind of emergence of that kind of media. Mm. So I've listened to a huge amount of podcasts. It's not very helpful for your question, but
no.
I didn't have my finger on the pulse for a long time. Only now that we've come back have I started to pay attention to.
There's a lot of like very interesting bands around at the moment, and like well, all kind of artists, I guess. And I don't know. One of the things I like about now is that I think this is probably the case for people our age as well, particularly like people closer to your age that have. Like, basically just entirely grown up with, like, streaming services or the internet as the primary means through which you consume music. I think people are, or, like, younger people are very, like, open-minded about just listening to a variety of, like, genres.
It's more accessible, kinds of music.
And that people aren't cliquish at all about, like, I'm a punk or... Which is, it's really interesting that there's so much, like, kind of crossover between, like, emo and rap at the moment with someone like, what's this?
Youngblood.
Yeah.
Which I don't get personally, but I also reckon I'm just, like, too old to
Ed's eyes lit up when he said Youngblood.
I find it, because, you know, stuff goes, stuff goes through cycles, and things we were listening to when we were growing up were done 10 years before, and something like emo, which was the height of things being completely uncool and lame, is now seemingly cool again with someone like Youngblood. Like, that was really put to bed when, you know, like 10 years ago, now it's, kind of, it's kind of come back in a different way.
You're right, there is a lot of, there's a lot of more interesting guitar music than when we started out as well. Yeah. Like, there was a lot of, like, very boring indie guitar music in the kind of late 2000s and early 2010s. And there is still quite a lot of quite boring indie guitar music. But there's also, you know, like, bands like Squid, who do, like, interesting kind of more, like, jam-based kind of, like, psychedelic guitar music.
So, obviously, this show in Knots is a part of your wider tour celebrating the 10th anniversary of your album, I Had the Blues, But I Shook It Loose. How has rehearsing for the tour been? Have you guys found it difficult getting into the swing of playing those tunes again? Or
no, we did like a day's worth of rehearsals and then that was it.
If anything, we've rehearsed too much. As Jamie said, the muscle memory is just, it comes back.
Yeah, very, I mean, these are like quickly. Songs that we've been playing since we were, and I mean, a lot of them we haven't played for like 10 years.
Yeah.
But they were like, you know, we wrote them as teenagers and they're very much ingrained in our memories. You know, like we wrote a lot of them at our school.
Yeah.
Like some of them are about the school.
Really?
Yeah.
Which ones specifically are about our old school UCS?
There's one called The Hill, which is literally about a hill behind, do you know where the war memorial was?
I do.
Just below that was the hill.
Oh, fantastic.
Where people used to pretend to smoke cut up grass rolled up in A4 paper.
Fantastic.
Really?
Or food.
You know. We're learning a lot today. So yeah, final question, guys. So yeah, obviously, we've chatted a bit about politics already, but I'd like to delve into that a bit more if you guys are willing.
Sure.
There's not a huge amount I have to say on this. I know absolutely nothing.
All right, we'll see if
Jamie,
you can...
Jamie, however, will...
Yeah, I'm happy to.
He's been studying for 4 years, so he's fine. So obviously the UK is going through a lot right now, and public perception on such pressing issues are so widespread, especially with social media. So yeah, my question to you guys...
Who will you vote for? No.
Not quite. Are you team Colleen Rooney or team Rebecca Vardy?
I reckon Ed won't even get this
reference.
I
don't even know who
this is. Really? You're that... uninformed.
He doesn't go on social media. obviously, you've got to be team Colleen Rooney.
You have to. Love that.
Well, let's see how this situation evolves. Obviously, the lawyers are involved now, so...
Oh, no.
If you're in the Midlands, presumably your team, Rebecca Vardy.
Supposedly.
Yeah.
And for listeners that don't know...
What?
How could you have missed this?
I don't pay attention to
basically, someone had been, like, leaking stories about Colleen Rooney's private Instagram to The Sun. And so, to find out who it was, she...
A bit of detective work, basically, on Instagram.
Quite elaborate
and
tradecraft.
And it turned out to be this other person.
She fed all these like fake stories on her Instagram that were then published in The Sun. And through this process, she was able to find out that this woman called Rebecca Vardy, who's the
wife of
Jamie Vardy,
right.
was the person
he's a hero.
To The Sun.
So,
well, he's a bit of a racist.
Why are there two sides of that? It sounds like only one person's in the wrong, right?
That's the social media. It has its ways.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah.
As someone who's not invested in this.
Anyway, one of the great stories of our age.
So. I know. What can you do? Anyway, thank you very, very much for joining me, guys. Really appreciate it. Any last words for the people of Nottingham and the student population?
It will get better. Oh, fuck. Actually, no. Were these our best days in your early 20s?
Oh, yeah. No, it's getting worse. It'll
get
worse.
Oh, nice.
Let me correct that. It will get much worse.
Oh, brilliant. Thanks very much for listening, guys.